I got to tell a story. Somebody asked me this morning, they said, were you always this funny? And my response, forget my response. The bottom line is, I had a grandmother who had four boys, and all she wanted was girls. And I was the first and only granddaughter. And so her idea was that I was going to dress like a lady and act like a lady and be a lady. It failed miserably. But I was my grandpa's girl. And when I was about 6 years old, I don't so much remember it myself as I remember my uncles loving to tell it at every dinner party. And so when I was about 6 years old, he took me to Hutchinson, Kansas, to my first rodeo. And we came back, and my grandmother was she was always a little on the prissy side, and she had guests, and she wanted to show off her granddaughter. And the proverbial question came up, and what do you want to be, little girl, when you grow up? And I said, a bull rider. To which, when the story was retold for the 5,000th time, and my uncles loved to tell it because they could put in a high-pitched voice of my grandmother saying, Walter, you have ruined that child. It comes naturally. Okay. I want to open with prayer. Lord of the harvest, may we as disciples of Christ bear fruit for your kingdom by reaching out to those you are patiently waiting to be welcomed into our fellowship. Bless us with your presence and your Spirit's promptings. Let everything that we say and everything we do be pleasing in your sight. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I have a little devotion I wanted to read you because everybody wondered why I said that you were to dress up. And bear in mind, when I said dress up, I meant dress up the way you, whatever makes you feel good. I just wanted you to feel good on the outside, because guess what? You are, every single one of you in God's eyes are a gem on the inside. And we're happy that you're here. So this occurred to me after I had put this lesson together, but I want to read it to you. It says, external beauty is ephemeral. Internal beauty is eternal. The former is attractive in the world. The latter is pleasing to God. Peter describes this inner beauty as gentle and quiet spirit. This might be paraphrased, a gentle tranquility. Without question, this is any woman's most powerful quality. True character. And such character comes from within, from the hidden person of the heart, because you know who you are and you know who you adore and serve, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, your adornment must not be merely external, but let it be a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So today we're going to talk about the final. This is it. This is the final of the seven deadlies. And so I saved the best for last, or the worst for last. But it is about how we appear to others. Whether we're dressed up or dressed down, whether we're in jeans or whether we're in looking really good, in whatever makes us feel good, we want to present ourselves as ambassadors of Christ. And so I had this thing that happened a long time ago. I went to Israel, and we were in the airport, and there was a man, a Jewish man, and he had his prayer shawl on, and then he had a black wool jacket and his hat and everything, and it was really hot that day, and so a couple of us asked him, why are you dressed up? I mean, because everybody else that was getting on and off the plane were in their pajamas, you know? And we said, why are you so dressed up to get on a plane? You know, it was going to be a long plane ride. And he said, because I dress for God. And that stuck with me. It stuck with me that we have to ask ourselves not so much what clothes we wear, because that's not the important thing, but if we're going to wear clothes like somebody that has a T-shirt on that says, the Lord is my shepherd, where is she? She leave? Oh, there you are. Okay. Oh, there you are. Or if I saw Nita back there with a shirt that said blessed, if we're going to do that, if we're going to put I heart Jesus on the bumper sticker of our car, if we're going to honk if you love Jesus and yet curse the person that almost ran you off the road, we're not sending the right message. We need to be ambassadors every waking moment of every day. And I just wanted to clarify that was my intent and purpose, was that we need to look like Jesus's representatives both on the inside and on the outside so that we send the right message. Also, I wanted Linda to have to change decorations and work harder. So here's the deal. I decided to list sloth last because I feel that in many, many ways, this is the one sin that grieves God the most. Why? Because we often fail to recognize sloth. And because sloth can be a Christian's biggest weakness. I know there's a lot of Marthas out there, but you too can commit the sin of sloth. I'll tell you why. Many of us have heard it said, idle hands are the devil's workshop. But did you know there is only one translation of Proverbs 16:27 that says that? It's not like the NIV or the NLT or ESV or any of the, but it one says idle hands are the devil's workshop. It is found in the Living Bible. That's where it is. It's in the Living Bible, and it's a paraphrase translation which was produced in 1971. But in most other Bibles, Proverbs 16:27 reads, and I'm quoting here, an ungodly man digs up evil, or a worthless man digs up evil. So why this distinction or this difference is important? Because the actual definition of sloth is an apathetic and wasteful lack of spiritual or physical effort. When there is an absence of activity and service, there is ample opportunity for negative influences to take hold. So in essence, when we as Christians have a slothful spiritual life, we can indeed become ungodly and worthless to our Creator. And that really, really does grieve the heart of God. So let's look at this sloth, sin. I thought you were laughing at me. I see what you're laughing at, and I laughed at it too. I really do believe that sloth is the easiest trap in Satan's arsenal. Why? Because it really doesn't take any effort at all to fall into sloth. Just looked at the characteristics: apathetic, inconsiderate, feeling entitled, minimal effort, wasting time, or even stealing time. Proverbs 18:9 tells us, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. And we know who the destroyer is. We know it's Satan. And Satan, I'm going to tell you this, and you may not believe it, but I believe it. Satan doesn't care if you come to church. He doesn't care if you come to church every single Sunday. And he doesn't care if you have a Bible sitting on your coffee table with dust on top. Just as long as we do nothing more than sit in a pew. Ouch. Matthew 5:13 tells Christians, you are the salt of the earth. And then it goes on to say that if we lose our saltiness, we are no longer good for anything. It is really all about the message. And how are we delivering the message? To be salt means that our lives ought to reflect the character of Christ. So we must ask ourselves daily, what is our character really saying? Now, this is a Norman Rockwell illustration. Norman Rockwell, I considered as an artist, he was an illustrator. He was called an illustrator, but he was one of the great prophets. I truly believe that. This is called Easter Sunday morning. And we see, what do we see? We see a message being given here. A message that was going to, in the 50s and 60s, that was going to continue to get worse as time went on. We see the mother dressed up in her finery. We see the little girl. They've got their Bibles. The two little girls, I should say. And they're following in mother's footsteps. And then we have the little boy in his suit. And look at who he's looking at. Dad. What is the message Dad is sending to his son? Yeah. Abdicate the spiritual authority of being the spiritual head of the household. And sadly, statistics have proven it out. So I use this picture that because people back then expected the entire family to go to church, and indeed many do, but you have to stop and think, this was something that was going on in our country as early as the 1950s. So anyway, this was rock. So are we being salty enough for others to become thirsty? Because if you're not, salt makes you thirsty. So are we being salty enough for others to become thirsty for what we have that they don't? Or are we just marking time? Even if we volunteer, now here's a lesson for the Marthas. Even if we volunteer all of our time, we can still be slothful in our spiritual life, which is what? Our spiritual life is an intimate relationship with God and a sincere desire to serve him. There is nothing in this world worse than a grumpy volunteer. Now, right now, I'm looking at a group of beautiful women who actively seek to be spiritually nourished by God because you're sitting here today. And I thank you for the 7 weeks that you've put up with every week me coming and pointing my fingers. But sadly, there are many, many Christians who are putting in minimal effort to be fed by the Word of God and who fail sharing the good news with others who are literally starving spiritually. So, what do we do about that? Give me just a second. Salvation is the free gift of Christ's sacrifice, but the moment we are saved, our eternity journey begins. James 2:17 says this, in the same way, faith by itself is not, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, there was when I was teaching high school Sunday school years ago, the kids wanted to know what's the difference between Christianity and some of the other world religions? So I went over to the college and I took a world religion class. There were two of us of an age. The rest were young people who thought it was a PUD class that they could just kind of skip over. It was a tough class, but he would bring in different people from different religions, and then we got to ask them questions. And the woman and I that were on the front row were referred to as the touchy-feely Christians on the front row. But one time in one of the classes, he brought in Father Fred from the Sacred Heart Catholic Church. How many of you remember Father Fred? Okay. Well, Father Fred explained something, and he said something that his dad always told him, and it stuck with me ever after. It really kind of sums up being spiritually slothful. He said his name was Fred, Father Fred, but his father used to say, "Don't die until you're dead, Fred." Our spiritual life is to be lived in the here and now. It should be a reflection of our redemption and an outpouring of our gratitude for what we have been given, and there's a lot of kingdom work still to be done here on earth. Philosopher Edmund Burke once said, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Let's say that together. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Sloth comes from an absolute lack of obedience and a minimum effort. Our attitude changes when we do as the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:18. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And in Ephesians 6:7-8, serve wholeheartedly. That's our attitude, to be doing it wholeheartedly. As if you, Christian volunteers should never consider themselves a martyr. We just don't, we do it because we love the Lord, not because we're trying to score brownie points before we get to heaven. So serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. So, how do we do this? Well, we surrender our days. We are spiritually nourished by spending time with God and doing that which pleases God. We surrender our days to Him. I'll give you a couple of some suggestions here. I do the first one at the beginning of every month because I have a desk calendar with all sorts of things on it, mostly doctor's appointments, but but I literally lay my hands on my, I tear off last month, I lay my hands on my calendar, and I say, "Lord, these days are yours. Every single day is a blessing. Do with it as you will." It is so surprising how he reorders my calendar on a regular basis. I may think that I'm going to accomplish thus and so today. I'm going to be at my desk. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get that done. And then he says, "No, because there's a person you need to talk to." "No, because I need you to spend more time with your husband." "No, because you need to spend more time in my word." He will reorder your calendar. So if you take that challenge and do what I do, I just want to warn you, he's going to reorder your calendar. He usually helps you keep the medical appointments, but beyond that, the other thing. Would I say it again? Oh, what I say? I just lay my hands on the calendar and I say, "Lord, every day is a blessing. You have," or I'll even use the Bible passage, "You have numbered my days aright. Thank you for every day. Please, and then I just offer my days to you. Please tell me what you want me to do." And then I go through the month in it. Does that make sense? Okay. So pray over your calendar. It's just a good way to start. It could be weekly, it could be monthly, it could be sometimes daily. But here's some ways to get, because we sometimes, when we become spiritually slothful when we get too busy. Even if we're doing the Lord's work, we get so busy we forget to bother to spend time with the Lord. So make a weekly schedule. Set aside blocks of time. If you have trouble with that, those morning or whenever you want to do a devotion, you have difficulty because you start it and then something happens, something shiny. You look at your grocery list. I mean, you know, keep a paper and a pen beside it and, you know, okay, I do need potatoes. Okay, write it down and then get right back to it. But set aside blocks of time. I'm doing it now. I have 9 minutes and 22 seconds left. Tackle things in small doses. I think we overdo it sometimes. We just go over the top. And then celebrate every one of your accomplishments. How do you do that? At the end of the day, Lord, I didn't get the laundry done, but I did have a wonderful conversation with my cousin on the phone who really was in distress. And I'm so glad that she called and that that I was able to talk to her. Celebrate those accomplishments, those moments that the Lord gives you. And even celebrate the accomplishments such as, Lord, I did get the laundry done today. That's okay too. And then look for a need and fill it. Those are the taps on the shoulder that one gets. So, I realize that every single one of us has busy lives and family obligations, but being a part of the family of God is an obligation we must not take for granted nor neglect. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 is clear. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The bottom line is this: life in the Spirit is life lived to the full. Life in the flesh is death and destruction. And we cannot walk in the Spirit if we spend no time with God's Spirit. If we prioritize God, He will prioritize our time. I promise He will make every hour of every day feel more productive while at the same time less stressful. I wanted to finish this with reading of 2 Peter, which it is in your handout, right? Please tell me, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10 is in your handout? It's not. Oh, okay. I blew it.
You can read it.
I'm going to read it. But before I do, I would like... To Ruthie Blocker, would you please come up here? Alinda, bring her up here.
Is this on the last page?
It is on the last page. You didn't look right. Good job. Turn around. How many of you know Ruthie Blocker and all that she's done for so many years? The reason I asked all of you to dress for Jesus today is because I was looking at her a couple of weeks ago and I realized what message she was sending. Ruthie Well, Linda wanted her to wear a lot of pearls, so she did as she was told. But the bottom line is, Ruthie is always beautiful, but she's at every bit as beautiful on the inside because her spirit shines through. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
She does. She always has the most beautiful look on her. Am I not right?
Right.
She just always has.
She glows.
She glows. She glows. And she's not pregnant. I thought you were just supposed to do that. So I just wanted to point out, every day, ladies, is a new day with God. And every day we get up, and we can be grouchy, we can be stressed out, we can be whatever. But when we put our feet on the floor, give your day to the Lord, and He will direct it, and He will spend time. He's just waiting. You know, sometimes we hold Him this far, at arm's length. Put that arm down and let Him love on you every week. So we're going to close today by saying 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10 together, if everybody has found it. Page 20. Thank you. Okay, everybody ready? Now you ready? Okay, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go forth and prosper. Have a great day.